coach, how are you doing? You've not been with, you know, a team for some time now. Two-time league winner, you know, won FA Cup trophy to go with it. And, you know, somehow you've been out of job for some time. Why?
Yeah, I'm with the national team, so I just have to cool out of the club side level now and see how it goes with things that is happening in the league.
Oh, you, because you're with the national team. By the way, he's the assistant coach of the Nigerian national under-23 team. Well, our league is back. We would like to talk about it because it's our own, it's our thing, and we support it. I've seen a lot of good plays from the teams, very good players. You know, quickly, let me ask you, how much talent do you think we have in the Nigerian professional football league? Where can we compete when it comes to talent, you know, across the world?
Yeah, actually, we do have. We do have, because when we're in the qualifying stage, I think the Championship.
Yeah. I quickly lost to Ghana.
Yeah, during the penalty shootout, I saw a lot of talents in that game, or let me say the two matches we played. And Nigeria has a lot of players. It's just to get the right people and assemble them at the right time, give them much time in terms of training, and I think we'll do better.
All right, the voice of Jurgen Klopp right there. Well, getting his 1,000th game as a manager. Coach Kennedy, do you know how many matches you've been in charge, you know, both maybe national and club side?
I can actually give the specific number of that, that I think I've been in coaching now for 10 years.
10 good years. And he's been in coaching for 23 years.
Yeah.
That means he must have started at a very young age, about maybe 30, 33. Oh, 32.
Yeah,
okay, thereabout. Wow, that's incredible. You will like to go 1,000 even higher?
Yeah, definitely. As a coach, that is what you aim. You try as much as you can hit targets like that. But another thing you should know is that in their own areas of coaching is different from ours, because things are already being done for them in an easier way. We will have to struggle to get things. I don't want to go back to the way things is being done in our area, because they won't give you, if it were to be a Nigerian, nobody will give him that chance
at that age.
Nobody will even listen to you. Nobody, except if you have to look for an academy team that you'll be coaching. But to be on the top flight
level football, coach,
it's not possible.
Wow. Well, congratulations to you, Jurgen Klopp, and we hope that some Nigerian coaches, you know, can emulate him and go higher and even coach at the biggest level. Okay, with the assistant coach of the Nigerian national under-23 team, a man who also played football for the national team. He played for Sharks, played for Udoji United, you know, traveled abroad, you know, Strelin, I think that's how it's called.
Yeah, FC Strelin.
FC Strelin. In Germany?
In Germany.
Okay, Fortuna Düsseldorf also in Germany.
Yeah.
And then the
KFC Oettingen. Also in Germany.
Yeah. Oh, you must have learned a lot of things German way.
The Strelin is the last club where he's coached of recent before.
Before he left.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Also, as a manager, he's been in charge of four reputable teams in Nigeria. Sunshine Stars. Well, before you left Sunshine Stars, you were on top of the table at mid-season. At mid-season?
We got into the mid-season too as well, but there was a little bit of crisis in the middle season of the league, and it became a problem to us that we couldn't end up winning the league because we were third, and if we win the last game against Enyimba, who have already won the league, we will come out second. But we had a draw. With that, we came into fourth position, while Nasarawa came out second because they won their last home game and played in the continent that year.
Well, that must have been very tough, because you took that to Plateau United and ensured that you won the title, you know, the season after that.
Yeah. After that, I went to, not actually Plateau United, I went to
Abia Warriors. Yes, I remember.
Abia Warriors for 10 matches unbeaten.
Yes, I remember the unbeaten.
Same argument with the management, because where we were playing, the pitch was very, very bad. We couldn't express a pattern of play. Enyimba too was having problem in their stuff. They came to Abia to play in Abia, play a few games and found out that the pitch
was not good.
Good for them. I think they went to Port Harcourt and I had a discussion with the management that we should move to Calabar and play in the stadium in Calabar, but they disagreed with me, and then I just resigned and left the place.
Wow. Well, your standard must be very high. You left there, then you went to Plateau United.
Yeah.
Then you won the league with Plateau United. United.
Came to the national team, was with the national team, then had an appointment to go to Remo.
Okay.
And Remo started, I was supposed to be there as a technical director, but few days before my coming, Coach Osho now said he's not going to stay. So they didn't have any option than to ask me
to return back.
To be with the national team and be as a coach with the team. Then it didn't work out well for us. I think the team, that was my biggest disappointment in terms of coaching, because that team went to relegation and I was not happy. Before the team went to relegation, I've already resigned because I told them that it can't work that way. But me resigning, not resigning, I still tag that as part of my failure because the team went to relegation.
Okay, that's Remo Stars.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you coached Akwa United and took them back to the pinnacle of Nigerian football.
Yeah.
Looking at all the successes you've had, some of the ups and downs, which, you know, would you say has been the most interesting for you? Club side or achievement or something?
Yeah, my club side, the league I won with Plateau United would be the biggest achievement because they didn't see it coming, because when I got there, I had a meeting with the chairman and I asked him what is the target. And I said, look, the people that left before I came got up to like 7th position. That was where Plateau United ended up this season. And if you can come fifth or sixth position, I think I've achieved. And I said that Rangers won 2016.
Yeah.
And they won the league with two or three senior players. Why don't you think we should win the league as well? He said the chairman then told me he does not know how I want to do it, but he's leaving everything to me. And I was given a free hand to run the club. As God would do it, we ended up winning the league. Because even up to the last day that we were playing Rangers, the trophy, everything was there in just, but he didn't believe that we were winning the league.
Wow. Incredible. Well, guys, that's the story of the Nigerian Professional Football League. How is won, how is done, how things are done out there in the MPFL. Well, more will be coming as we go on in this one. We have the privilege, you know, to have Coach Kennedy Boboye, a former Super Eagles player, you know, a former Nigerian MPFL player, former coach in the last 10 years. He's won the title twice and also an FA Cup to go with it. Would I be right to say you are the most successful manager in the last, you know, maybe 10 years in the MPFL?
Let me give thanks. I won it as a player. I won the league and won the FA Cup as a player, and I think I tried my best to do that as a coach too. It hasn't been easy. It's hard work. But there are better coaches too, like me, that has been there too. So we're all still struggling.
Oh, wow.
Sure, we'll make it good.
Do you think Nigerian coaches have, you know, had the, they've been respected enough? Are Nigerian coaches respected enough here in Nigeria?
I don't think so. I don't think they've been given that chance enough to showcase their talent. Because I know we have quality coaches in Nigeria. Quality coaches that can step out of these shores of the country to work anywhere in Africa and get good results for themselves. We do have them, but everybody knows how it goes in Nigeria.
How difficult it is, you know. Do you think much about refereeing when you go for, you know, matches?
See, me, I don't like actually talking about referees when it comes to our league, because I've been in the system for quite some time, and if it is in the first standards of the league, you see everything going smoothly. But when it comes to the second standard, that is where the whole abracadabra start coming in.
Hmm.
And with that, you can't give kudos to the referee, because you only praise them first standards of the league. But second round, can they keep to those right things that they're supposed to be doing, like the way they did in the first standard, which is no. So,
well, something that has changed now is that, you know, in the past, the referees used to be owed their indemnities.
Yeah.
But now they said before you leave for the game, you hear kring, kring on your phone. That's a lot for the money. Would this help, or you think there's still more to be done?
I just need to breathe down and I see. Let's see how it goes this season, because I think this season is the season that they will be paying them their own indemnities in their own hand.
Yes.
And let's see how it goes to the mid-season before we start complaining.
Okay. Before he seems not to be too confident, but the referees, well, let's see if they will be performing better. Chelsea away at Anfield. Hello, good afternoon to you. As a player and as a manager, which did you enjoy the most, being a player or being a manager?
The pressure you have as a manager is more than the one you have as a player. A player, every problem you when you play, you have result, you don't have result, you just go home. Mm. But you don't know what the manager is facing.
Mm.
Not until I became a coach and I started playing back games I played as a player. And I think the pressure is on the coaches more than the player. So I enjoy being a player because I don't have pressure on me.
This season, when did you start your coaching? Where did you start it?
I started my coaching in France because I was still playing when I was doing my my coaching then. Yes.
Okay. What team were you playing for that?
I was with KFC Odingin when I was doing my coaching in France.
Okay. KFC Odingin.
Yeah.
In France, that's in the first division or second?
Not in France, in Germany. But I was traveling from Germany to France
to do your coaching badges.
After my week game, I quickly go down to France to do my badges.
Why did you decide when and why did you decide to be a coach?
Yeah, because I have a coach that played with Tijani Babangida. His name is Klopp too.
Okay.
Chris Klopp. Yeah, played with Babangida and Garuba Lawa in FC Roda.
Okay, Roda Kakri.
Yeah, in Holland. So he was my coach then in FC Stirling.
Okay.
So every time we play, I ask questions. Every time we do things, I want to stop him. I want to do extra things. Now, he now told me that the way you ask questions and the way you ask after a game, is it that you want to be into coach? I said, for now, I don't know. But I like football. So if I'm part of coaches in football, then I said, okay, I will advise you. You should go into coaching and you do a better thing coaching. I said, how do you know? Said, I've seen you the way you act and the way you like asking questions. Other foreign players like you, they come, play, earn their money and they go. They don't want to know what is happening. And I said, okay. And then they roll in France, and that was how I started.
How did you get into the Nigerian professional football? Having played here before, you know, when you came back, did you, you know, apply for jobs or people who knew you just say, oh, we know Kennedy? No, we know he can do this.
I ended my career in Nigeria, but as I was almost running down my career, the last play I played was South Africa. Because
okay.
I stopped playing in South Africa when the team could no more pay my wages. I played for Mani Rangers then.
Okay. A first division team?
Yeah, first division team. So after that, when the team could no more pay, and I have to call the Commissioner of Sports then, that I would like to come back to come and play.
Commissioner of Sports where?
In Port Harcourt.
Oh, River State.
I think his name is Osef. Yes, so,
okay.
You know, he's now vying for the position of House of
Reps.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I told him, I said, if you want to come, please do come quick. We are at the verge of winning the league and the FA Cup.
Ooh.
That was Dolphin then.
Oh, back in Dolphin.
Yeah. So I said, okay, so, but if you're coming, do us a favor, come with your clearance. And I went to the team. I said, okay, since you could no more, because you've owned me 3 months, you could not pay. I can't pay in this country, you're not paying me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a family, so please,
yeah,
can you give me my paper so I can go back? The club now agreed, we now terminated my contract. They gave me my paper. That was how I came. When I joined Dolphin, I think I played about 10, 15 games for them. Let me say 10 games. Then we won the league. Who won the FA Cup.
What year was that?
That was 2004.
2004?
Yeah, 2004. So after that, I had a friend who played together too in Port Harcourt. We were playing in the state league then, virtually became the commissioner for sports in Bayelsa State.
Okay.
His name is Ebitmiang Barry. So
okay,
after that, he now called me that I should come and help him and play for Bayelsa United, because we've won the league and everything in
Dolphins. Dolphins.
And I told him, I don't think I have that strength anymore, because I have a deal that's supposed to come up for me in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I said, please, I should just come. I said, I'm going to travel in no time. He said, even if it is for 1 month, let me just come. Yesterday, he drove down from Bayelsa, came to my house in Port Harcourt, collected my passport and my debtors, went to the airport and came to Abuja, registered me. Now called me that he has registered me, that I should resume training in Bayelsa. I went, I started training with the team, played some game for them actually before I traveled. I was in the same team with Samuel Okoye, may so rest in peace, when he passed on in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they had this crisis, they said every foreigner should go back. And I told him, I'm going back, I cannot be in Iran when there is war. And I said, jokingly, and I said, Ross, I cannot go back. Instead, I will go back, let me just die here.
Wow.
Like as if he knew. So I was back when my agent now called me that Okoye is dead. So,
quite unfortunate.
Quite unfortunate, you know. After my career, there is a guy that used to watch me play. And I went and met him because I've spoken to Christopher Green before when he was in the government of Umeya. When I was in the government of Umeya, I spoke to him that I want to be one of the coaches because already I have my coaching
qualifications.
Yeah. He tried his best, but it didn't work out. But Boma Iyai, the former commissioner.
The former commissioner.
Yeah, before this Christopher Green again.
Yeah, before Green.
Now called me 2009-2010 season. It was Kadir Kana the head, Imama, myself, and one other goalkeeper trainer called Ernest Ibayo. Imama, myself, and Ernest Ibayo played in Sharks virtually the same time, same year.
Mm.
So that was how we started working. Didn't stay too long. Kadir and I left. Then I brought John Obu.
Okay.
So we worked under John Obu. So after John Obu, I think they were thinking of giving Imama the position to become the head coach.
Mm.
So I don't know what he was thinking, and I thought he wasn't ready. Then they now called me to come and work in Akure as a local.
Okay.
And I told them that I am not okay yet to be a head. That I have somebody that is very sound and smart, which is Imama, that we should both go and work together.
At Sunshine,
which they spoke to him, but Imama too had his own plan. So as these things were happening, Imama now went to Enyimba to go and assist Talisio in Enyimba.
Yes, I remember.
So me, I went to assist. He's in Abuja here. Why am I forgetting his name? He was assistant coach in the under 17. Sam Abimbola.
Oh, coach Sam Abimbola.
I worked under him
at Sunshine. Oh, I remember. Now.
Then after that, small inches. Then I asked me to go and coach the female team. Okay. I went and held the female team from the female team.
So you did female football?
Yeah, I did. That was where I started as a head coach.
Ooh.
Took them to the semifinals of the FA Cup in Lagos against Rivers United. The chairman of the agency now called me and told me that Rising Star, another football team.
Yes, that's the other team.
Yeah, it's almost facing a relegation that should go and
rescue them.
I went there, brought them out of that. We went to play
playoffs.
Not the playoffs. There is this team in Warri. We went there to play. We had a draw. Came back home. We won the two games. We escaped the relegation.
Mm.
He now jokingly told me that you're going to be the next head coach of Sunshine. I said, please don't. He said, I'm telling you, but the only thing is that if you're not in the first four by the mid-season, I'll sack you. I said, I will never be here for you to sack me. We just ended up like that. When the season was about to start, he now said, okay, look for your players and start recruiting. I started recruiting players.
For Sunshine. Well, we will talk more about that. You know, we will reveal more with him. Your first big job, which was Sunshine Stars, you weren't expected to be pushed up as the, you know, head coach. You got it, and you said you were given ultimatum that, look, if you are not among the top four, you will be sad. How did that make you feel? Were you so confident that, oh, I will get the top four with the players on ground or something, or you went out to beef up the team?
I met team on ground because I was in that state. I was watching. Anytime Sunshine is playing, I do watch. So the only thing I do is that, like, as if I knew, there are players I was just penciling down that if I am opportune, I want these players to come and work with me. And when that
not necessarily if you are in sunshine.
No.
You're just penciling them down. You knew you were going to take up a definitely. Job sometime.
Because before I left for Akure, I told myself one thing. I said, I'm not going to be an assistant to anybody again. If I'm not going to be a head, I leave. That was what I told myself. And immediately they called me and I asked, what do you want me to do? They said, they were going to give me a job to work as a head in Sunshine Queens. I think that was where I started being a head. And since then, it has been like that for me, apart from the national team. But even at the national team too, I have a target. I have a target of when I'm going to be an assistant, and I'll stop at that. So when I started taking the work in Sunshine, got players, the players started coming in. I had a meeting with the players, discussed. You wouldn't even know I'm the head coach because I was young then. I play with them like as if I'm one of the players, but I have a line, you know. So we started working, we started playing, and it was in my era, I've not seen that again in Nigeria. It was in my era in Sunshine, I had 9 players from my team that plays in the home base.
Super Eagles. Home base Super Eagles.
Yes, it was in my era.
And Sunshine Star is not known for that big team.
No.
Something.
2-3.
So, you know.
Then.
Yeah, they are not known for. But you recruited. How did you do your recruitment?
Yeah, because when
recruitment rather.
When I had players on ground though, good players.
Okay.
Because the only problem the team had then, the coach that was there was not friendly to them. So he had the name, he was calling them like All-Stars players, you understand? Yeah, that was the name he was calling them.
Oh, probably because he felt they were old.
Old. But I tried to match them, the young and old, to get what I want. I had players like Paul Unobi, Andrew Mendras, I had Ezenwa, I had Steven Daniel, the central defender.
Yeah.
Odulami, good player, Dayo Ojo. Yeah. Good
all
players.
All these players you mentioned, a whole lot of them play for the national team.
Prince Agri. Because they left. And the worst thing is that when they were being invited to the national team, I said, stay there. I won't bring you back to come and play. I have other players that will play for me. So the only thing is that these people are in the national team. It's an opportunity for you to showcase yourself.
Yeah.
I won't call them back, but they were busy calling their coach, please, if you don't call us to come and play for our team, they will drop us from here like we are not important players.
Yeah.
And I will just reason with them, and I cannot invite the whole of 9 of them. I will just invite 2 or 3 and ask the ones that are home to play. And that was how we were playing. We were doing well.
At halftime through the season, you were top of the table.
Yeah, we were top of the league for almost 8-10 weeks.
Did that surprise you?
It did not, because I know what I wanted. It wasn't like a surprise to me. I know what I wanted. But everybody was looking at me like a young coach. I remember a game I played against Kadir Ikana. We were winning 2-1 at the halftime. He called me. I came to him as he was talking. I said, bow down to Peter. He gave me a knock. Are you this? I think he came working with Giwa.
Oh, yeah, Giwa
FC. So he gave me a knock
on
and
the
said,
head.
You this boy, you want to disgrace me? I said, no, sir. You know, but it was fun, you know.
Yeah, so that was just fun. It. I can only imagine. Well, Abuja, bringing you some hot content. There was a time the MPFL was on TV, Coach Kennedy. And now it's not, you know, on TV. What difference did it make back then?
When the league was televised live on TV, there was much difference, because you have even friends calling from Europe to ask about a player. You will be surprised and be amazed that people are even watching the game, you know. And it gave the referees time to checkmate themselves, because you don't know who is watching.
Yeah.
So everybody was on his toe. So you need to have a good team to come out and express themselves.
Yeah.
And again, for you to actually win a game is not a backyard winning that you know. So he really helped the league. But now that it's not being televised, so many things are going wrong. So many things. And for the league to improve, that should be one of the priorities that the league should have. Not just say, look at when they gave it to NT. It's black and white. You are not, you know, come back.
You can differentiate the players.
So,
Okay. Well, let's come back to your first, the club where you were the head coach. Why did you leave Sunshine Stars at that point? I'm someone who supports Sunshine Stars. I mean, I just heard Kennedy will be leaving. Why did you leave?
Not everything, actually, I have to come out and say, let me still have respect for the team, because I don't like fighting with the team when I'm leaving the team. I only resign because the management might leave. One day I might go back there to go and work again. That is how I like keeping my own relationship. Because when we are playing, I think we had an argument between myself and the chairman, who was my cousin then, my first cousin. His name is Akin Bobola. We were arguing about something, and I went into his office to tell him that, look, if you don't do this thing this way, it won't help us. But if this team draws, because we only needed a win in that game to play in the continent.
Okay.
Nasarawa was playing at home. We were playing. They banished us from Akure to Lagos. And in that same season, we were winning a match that the fans came in and obstructed the game, that we were banished from Akure to come and play 6 minutes in Abuja here against Lobby.
I think I remember.
Yes. So we came, we were 1 goal down. In 6 minutes, we came to Abuja here to play that 6 minutes. In 3 minutes of that 6 minutes, we scored 1-1. We not scored another goal, they disallowed the goal. So the match ended 1-1. So our next home game now to play against Enyimba was in Lagos in Teslim Balogun Stadium. All we need to do is to allow the players that are supposed to play and have winnings in that game. If we win that game, we will come out second and play in the continent. But this, my brother and my Oga at the same time, because he's a cousin, didn't want me to do it the way I wanted to do it. So I now told him that if we draw, I will never come back to this team again. He said, where will you go to? Who knows you? I said, nobody knows me, but I'm okay. And actually, we drew. When we drew in that game, I just picked up my bag from the bench and came out, took a taxi to Jota, and chartered a taxi that took me to Akura. They never knew I packed my things already, because I was living in the hotel. So by the time I got to Akura, slept in the hotel, that breaking the following morning, I started my car. That was how I came to Abuja. We had a CAFSI license course then. That was how I came to the course. So when he didn't see me, when the team resumed, he didn't see me. He called me and said that, we didn't see you. I said, me, I'm gone. I won't come back to Akura again. He said, where do you have? I said, I don't have anywhere, but I know somewhere will come. After we finished the course, I went back home. I think 2 weeks later, Abia Warriors
came. Abia Warriors called.
You know, that's how.
Well, we'll talk about Abia Warriors also. We'll talk about more about this, but let's go back to this game. All right. Thank you very much. He wanted to know if you played for Udoji United.
Yes, 1994.
Okay.
Myself, Charlie Parker, Ndukwe, and the rest of them. From Udoji, I went to BCC.
Thank you very much, Coach.
All right, let me go to the first one you asked. The first one I want us to improve on our league is our transportation.
Okay.
The distance of the traveling of the players weighs them down often. That is one big problem. Another problem is, you know, when you're in school, you need to read and write well to pass exams to graduate to the next school and next class.
Yeah.
So if you as a referee are not doing well in your own league, how can they invite you to come and officiate in a tournament
outside
the shores of Nigeria? It's not possible.
So the referees have to do well.
They have to do well. You know, these other ones you're seeing outside are people that are doing well in their league.
So it's not like it's quota system.
Yeah, it's not.
It's no quota system.
It's not a quota system.
All right. Well, huge words right there, you know, quotes that could go on forever. And it goes on to say, please do me, what state is Kennedy Boboye from?
Can I answer that?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm originally from Ondo State. Specifically from Ondo Town.
Oh.
I was born and bred in Port Harcourt.
Wow. I never knew you're from Ondo.
My full names are Kennedy Akinboboye.
That's true. Akinboboye.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why he's your cousin.
Yeah. Akinbobola is my first cousin.
Akinbobola. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I never knew you were from Ondo. Seriously.
Yeah.
Wow. So, is there going to be a third?
Yeah, he's 3 games, but he got the straight
red. Was he a straight red?
Yeah,
wow.
Was a straight red.
Wow.
So
quite unfortunate.
Back.
Just imagine what Yao Felix could have done, you know, in this game. Coach, did you ever have a player who has this hot head and is known for getting red cards?
Yeah. There's a player called Ndifreke.
Oh, Effiong.
Yeah. Good player. In his element, I don't think you can stop him, but when that is problem comes into him, you need to beg. I remember there's a game that he played. In that game, we are leading 2-1. He has scored the 2 goals.
Whoa.
In that game. He now lost a chance that he's supposed to pass somebody, supposed to get a 3rd goal, intercept the ball, and use that ball to come and score. Instead of him being sober, not passing the ball, he ran to come and fight with the defender that allowed that ball to enter. So, and I said, no, this guy must come out of the pitch. So, I was about changing him. Yeah. I saw the chairman coming from the stand to come and beg me, like, I should calm down. He's too. I said, look, he's going out. Bring him out for me. We brought him out. You know, it was funny. So, and the chairman, I said, coach, at that time, you know, he's our highest goal scorer. I said, if he's sick, are we not going to play?
Yeah.
If he's injured, are we not going to play?
Yeah.
These are things you tell him that is making him look like as if he's a super. In my team, there is no superstar.
Hmm.
Everybody's as important as the other person.
Wow. Ndifreke Effiong, well, a well-known name in the Nigerian Professional Football League. And, you know, played for a whole lot of clubs, you know, in Nigeria. And eventually, I think he went abroad. Played for the Nigerian Olympic, you know, team.
Yeah.
That was in 2016. Won the bronze with them.
Yeah.
Wow, red hot. You want to say? Played for Abia Comets, Abia Warriors, Al Ahly Benghazi. That's out there outside Nigeria. Played for the Nigerian Under 23. Also had one cap for the senior national team.
But he's back now.
Okay.
He's back now to Akwa United.
Oh, to Akwa United.
Yeah.
Just 24.
He's
back. Back to
himself and Olisema. Olisema went
Olisema.
To Saudi Arabia, but they're back. I think they should be okay. They're playing tomorrow.
Okay,
they're playing tomorrow.
Okay, before I get back to this present season, because it's getting very interesting already. You know, you had your stint at Abia Warriors. You also went like about 10 matches unbeaten. You know, on this show we were counting the unbeaten. You know, then again you left.
You see, I am one person that likes working where the environment is peaceful and we can share ideas together. Because when it wasn't, we drew some game at home that was not actually supposed to be. You cannot be playing when it's raining,
the pitch is not good,
you cannot, the ball will not be flowing. You know, and I went to the chairman, I spoke to him, I said, look, why don't you take us to Calabar? Let's go and play there. Look at anybody that came to play in this pitch. They are not in Port Harcourt playing because they could not survive on this pitch. So we too, we cannot. It's the same league we are playing. The only thing he told me is that if we go to Calabar, who are the people? How can this Omaya people be watching the team?
Yeah, he wanted the fans there.
So after the last draw, yeah, I just packed my things, came to the office, sent out my resignation letter.
Why did you leave? Because you felt you won't be able to win at the end of the season?
There is no way like that we can win a game. There is no way. We're not playing that. We are in rainy season. And if you play a team, for instance, if you play a team like a team from Bayelsa, a team from Rivers that are used to rain ball, they will come there and oppress you. Akwa United, Akwa. The last game we played was Akwa. We almost lost that game. You understand? So, and if you don't want to listen to me, there's nothing I can do than to leave the job for you. Because me, I don't want to fight and I don't want to play. I just leave the job for you quietly. I go my own way.
Mm. Wow, interesting. Well, from Akwa United, you moved to Plateau United.
Yeah.
How many did you stay a season or you just...
Twice. I stayed for 2 seasons.
You stayed off for 2 seasons. What was going through your mind those periods that you were out of job, you know? Did you have any reason to doubt yourself or something, or you thought the right offer will always come?
No. I just came back from... Okay, let me say I came back from UK last year. I went for a course in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I think I needed that to like boost up myself too. And since I'm still in the national team, I will go to matches, centers, and watch. I gain in learning. You know, if I'm not occupied by anything now, definitely to come. And when you come, things have gone to learn outside that should be able to impact them into the team. Mm. So I don't think I'm bothered in not having a team now. No, I'm not.
Okay, tell us about Plateau United. You said that's the most memorable place you've coached so far.
Yeah, because I was given a free hand to work. That doesn't mean I wasn't given that same chance or opportunity in Aqua. But the relationship in Aqua is not like the one I had in Plateau. Because just truly, I'm not one working in Aqua, but I should give it to Pobasi. There was no one day that chairman came to interfere in my job. And why I love him very much is that he comes to training every day. So there's nothing you tell him. Just the way the players, if the players are starting training by 7:15, you see Pobasi there with his seat. He sits and he watches. But no, for one day that he has come to tell me that Kennedy, you must put in this person. No. That is why I give kudos to him. But the backbiting, the way they react, the way they behave, is not something you can cope up with.
That's at Aqua United.
Yeah.
I also understand that there were some thugs at some point who were threatening.
They met me and they acted on me, but everything just, the way I reacted to them, so everything just calmed down because they came fighting and wanting to impose a player. And I said, it won't work with me. It won't work with me. Any player that you want to play must come out for training. I must see the person. So if you're not training for me to see you, you can't just come and say, I should put this person in a game for me to play a match for me.
And that was why you left Aqua.
That was why I left.
Anfield is regarded as one of the worst places to play as an opponent. Looking at the Nigerian Professional Football League, where would you say is the most intimidating center in the NPFL?
It used to be in Kano.
Oh, Kano.
When they were in the
NPFL.
Because when you go to Kano to play, by 2:45, the stadium is jam-packed. And when I see crowds like that as a coach, I used to remember when I was playing in the early 90s, say 89, 90, 91, 12 o'clock everywhere is full. And if they start blowing their whistle, the instructions, I remember one year, I think I took Abia Warriors to play against Kano Pillars. Before the first half, I was 5 goals down.
Whoa.
Genuine goals.
No, Joro.
I turned back like this. I wasn't seeing anybody on the bench. But people were seated there. I must be honest to you. I wasn't seeing anybody on the bench. You know what I did? I just came back from the dock line. I came and sat with those people that were there. He said, coach, you're not going to stand again. I said, for what? Let's watch and see what happens. And that was how we played, and the game now ended 5-0. Mm. When I got back to Umaya, Umaya is one place that is very funny. You go away to win, as you're coming back, you're coming for a meeting. As you're coming back to the town, you're driving straight to the office of the chairman for a meeting. You go to play a draw outside. You're coming for a meeting. You go to lose, you're coming out for a meeting. So, as me, I was coming back with my driver. I drove straight to the office to go and wait for the meeting. Then I asked what happened. I said, as a coach, I cannot explain what happened. But the goals just keep coming like that. They were better than us in all.
And you think the fans played a huge role?
Yeah, the fans were behind them. The fans were behind them. And those are part of the things we miss in the league. Those are part of the things we miss in the league. If not for that, they are sometime being an hostile kind of people. They give 120% behind the Pillars team, and it was really carrying them.
Wow. Yeah. So, well, when you talk Anfield, then talk the Sani Abacha Stadium here in Nigeria. Yes, that is the most fearsome, the most feared, you know, ground in Nigeria, according to Coach Kennedy Boboye. Quickly, maybe some Premier League teams are listening to you now, some coaches are listening to you. What is the most important thing if you would do if your team was to win the league? What will you pay attention to the most?
Definitely, I have to pay attention to the team gaining respect in the next league that will be coming. Because if you win the league this season and you don't prepare very well for the next season, you ask yourself questions like what happened to us when I was in Accra United. We won the league, we went out to play in the Champions League. In the Champions League, we didn't do well. We came back and we were asking ourselves questions, because it got to a stage that we had about 10 House of Assembly members in that trip that were talking to the players, begging the players. The players did not come out for training before the game. And the time they would say, okay, let's go, because they want to go and work out, the house was divided. So when you finish winning the league, you must sit down with the management of the team to know what they want and the way the team should move forward. If not, there will be catastrophe.
Wow. Well, so you mean you have regrets not performing well on the continent?
Yeah, definitely. With Accra United, but when I was in Plateau United, I did well, because Plateau United is a young team that came into the championship, like Champions League,
yeah,
and played up to about 6-7 games before they were out of the Champions League and went into the Confederation Cup.
What's the biggest challenge you think Nigerian teams face on the continent?
Because we are not well prepared. We are not well prepared. You cannot be on sabbatical leave, so to say, and other teams are playing, and you think, if you don't read well, will you pass? It's just a simple logic. If you don't read well, you won't pass. You understand? So if our league is on as we are now, and we have teams that's going to represent us in the Champions League or the Confederation Cup, because the season is on, that match fitness is something you cannot take away from any team or from the players, and they will do well. But if you go on sabbatical leave, you stay 3 months, 4 months, you've not been able to play. The only thing you see our team playing is to go and play pre-season tournaments, pre-season games. Those are not those are things that you can do with any other team. So preparation is the key.
Holla at your coach, you need to perform better. Hello, good afternoon to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Coach Bumi.
Thank you. Your name, where are you calling from?
My name is Binga. The one that I called before, so network.
All right, Binga, nice to have you. Let's talk.
Coach Boboye, my question is this, sir. I hope you are with me, sir.
Yeah, I'm listening, sir.
What can we do to produce a Boboye of our time like you? And what can our Nigerian board do to have our own training in Nigeria here? What must we do to have our own training pitch where we can train coach like Coach Boboye?
Right.
That's my question, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. It's not something that much. It's just for us to be sincere to ourselves in what we want to do, what we want to achieve. Because look at the way we are watching the Premiership, watching, it's not something that started today, but we must start planning gradually for us to get there. We cannot turn it overnight to be 100% like the Europeans. But those that are on top of the management level should be able to provide something similar to what we are seeing and what we are doing. That is my own take, sir.
All right, let me take some few more calls. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon and welcome. Your name, where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Bunshaka, first time caller, and I'm calling from the forum.
All right, nice to have you. Shekere, a blessing for you. Welcome to the friends.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
I want to talk to my long time, I would say, elder brother.
Okay.
Kennedy Boboye.
Okay.
Kochi.
I salute you, sir.
Well done, sir.
I salute you.
Honestly, I heard your voice. I just said, let me call to verify if it is you.
Thank you, it's me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I know you know me with my other name.
Please, let me know your other name.
Coach Jim Long, junior brother.
Ah, okay. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Good yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm calling.
Okay. Nice to have you here, Nacho. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lungi Barrack.
Lungi Barrack.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk.
I just want to ask the coach one or two questions. For me, I believe that the process of our football comes from the home base. I want to ask coach. They are very playful. They're as the coaches.
Yes.
Different clubs. Know what is the problem of our football because they are very close. They are the coaches. I want to ask him, why is it that he cannot be able to produce the culture of those days, Uchokechukwu of those days? He himself sitting down there, why are we not producing them now? And what is their discussion whenever they meet with the NFF? What did they tell them that is the problem of our football? That is the question.
All right. Thank you very much, coach.
All right.
So why are you not producing Okocha?
You see, there are some set of players that will come. It's a generational thing. I won't lie to you, because after our era playing alongside Okocha and the Kanus, we've not been able to get those kind of players. And those players, I must be honest to you, are players that didn't go to academy, like the way you are getting all these academies that you see now. But we have passion for the game. We have passion for the game. If I tell you that when I was playing, I was being paid salary with block, molded block as my salary, because I was playing for a cement company. Then at the end of the month, they will count pieces of blocks for me. I sell, that is my salary. But I had passion for the game. I left that place. I went to play for another team again called Slaughter United. When they kill Nama, they give me part of my own share. I take it home. That is my salary. But these players now, most of them, before you think of them coming to play, they start frying their hair, they start wearing earrings, they start telling you how they want to go and play in Europe. But you're not even thinking of getting a club side in Nigeria that you can play for 2 or 3 years. So you will find that, I'm sorry to say, the quality of the other players you have are not the kind of ones you have now. But they could be better. That is just the problem, sir.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the national team. I know you, the assistant coach of the national under 23 team, and with my little experience working with the junior teams, I know you have a say when it comes to players, you know, whether it's in the, you know, a senior national team, the Super Eagles itself, where we have Coach Jose Pissero, you know, heading now. Why is it difficult for Nigerian players, you know, to play rather Nigeria rely on foreign-based players? Why?
I should say it depends on who is the head. Because for the short time I've worked, let me not say short time, I think it's my second spell working with Salisu now.
Okay.
I was with him with the Super Eagles when we went to play a friendly game against Mali in France. We won that game 1-0. We traveled from France to Luxembourg to play against the Luxembourg national team. That was 2016.
Okay.
We won Luxembourg in Luxembourg 3-1. And we came back. You know, when you see the way he was building to make sure he has bulk of the Nigerian players, the home-based players in his team.
Did you play with the home-based pattern? The Mali
because we went with about 5 home-based players.
Okay.
You understand? So, even with the way we've worked now from the Chan
team
with this team now, if we watch our game against Tanzania, we had professionals that came for that game. But about 3 or 4 of them were on the bench. while the locals were playing. Not just locals, some have not even tested the league before. We had two guys that play for us that are from academy. But because they were able to prove themselves, because they were hungry to play, and the coach now gave them chance to play. So if you want to play and the coach is seeing that you're hungry to play, the opportunity will be given to you. But you cannot force somebody to go and play when the person does not want to play.
Mm.
That's just the problem.
Okay. So, but you said it depends on who heads the team.
Yes.
If you get a chance to play, to be the head coach of the Nigeria senior national team, will you rely more on home-based players or, you know, more on the foreign-based players?
Definitely, because I don't go to watch the European League week in, week out. I definitely will be doing that at home. So my bulk of my squad will be with the home-based team.
Mm.
Let me say 80% of my team will be in the home-based team.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be incredible. That would be a first in the long run.
Listen, my brother. Before this time, why do you think people are crying about the 94-96 mm-hmm. squad? What, where were they? We were all playing in the local league. And if you're coming from Europe, you know you have to buckle up well and tie your belt very well, because you will come as a professional and sit on the bench.
Sometimes you don't even see
the jersey to wear.
Exactly. Then your club will say, if you can sit on the bench,
what are you coming to do?
Why are you here?
it's just that.
Okay. All right. Well, Abuja, we have Coach Kennedy Boboye with us right here in the studio, assistant coach Nigeria home base Eagles, or B team, you want to say, also assistant coach Nigeria under 23 team. Two-time champion as a coach of the Nigerian Professional Football League, won FA Cup to go with it. He won the league as a player and as a coach. You know, a big name you want to say. Do you think you as a coach have been given enough respect, you know, here in Nigeria, you know, on the local scene?
I don't think so.
Why do you think you are not respected as much as you should?
I don't think so, and I just don't want to talk about it. I just want to concentrate and be doing what I know I can do best. Because I am, as a coach, I pray not to spend all my time coaching in Nigeria. That is my prayer. Maybe one day I'll be outside there. Maybe when I'm out, I'll be respected back home.
Someone just brought in Potter just brought in a player now with so much quality, you know, quicker and faster than your right back. What will you do at that particular point? Will you change the player? Would you, you know, change your system or something? What exactly will you do at this point? If not, your team could be, you know, broken down to pieces.
What I normally used to do with my team is that I send my assistant coaches before the day I'll play the team I'm playing. My assistant coaches will have gone to spy the team like twice.
Like twice?
Yes, like twice. And I give them a sheet. In those sheets, I let them know where they are supposed to sketch and do things for me. They come back, tell me the number of the players, the jersey number of the players, that the strength, the weakness of that same player and of the team. So when they come back and let me know that, I start working on that. And if that player eventually is in the game of that day, I have a player, very brief player, and I think he was part of my success in Akwa United.
Okay.
I pray for him to grow, because most of the coaches, when they see him, they undermine him because of his stature. That boy is a brief SN Okom is his name. He's a brief boy like this. But as tall as I am, I can never win aerial battle with that boy.
Wow, great jumper.
So when I'm going to play, especially in the middle of the park, anybody that is tough, I just put that boy on him. He doesn't play. Definitely, let me say 70% of games, they will change that quality player. It's when they change that quality player, and that's you come and rest, you've done your job. And that was how we were successful in Akwa United, winning games, drawing games away from home. And when he doesn't play, I don't think he played up to like about 5 games or 6 games at home.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm.
But away, he was always there for me.
So was it about this home and away thing in Nigerian professional football league?
Yeah, because, you know, it hasn't gotten to that level for us to know that there is nothing like home and away in football.
anywhere you go, you should showcase yourself very well for a team to know that you are there to like win. Because I keep telling my team that, or my players, that it is doable for us to win the whole game or draw half of the games away. But you must have that winning mentality as a player. That is how I looked at it. I don't come here to play in Abuja and I said, I come to win. I have my own strategy of the way I want to win. In the process of going to score, I have my defense, my back line there for me too. So the way I play in away games is not the same way I play at home games. When I come away, I play in the 4-2-3-1 formation. But when I'm playing at home, I play in the 4-4-2 formation. So because I want to score.
Wiki Ferris, would you want to coach the team?
Alami, I'm a Nigerian and I can work anywhere. But I want to tell you this gospel truth. In your team now, you have one of the best coaches in Nigeria. I must tell you the truth. It's not working well for him now. I understand.
Who is in charge of?
Dogo.
Oh, yes, Kabiru Dogo.
He's one of the best coaches you have. A very quiet gentleman that knows the job very well. Please just give him time. I know you guys will not go to relegation. Just give him time. Things will change for the good, okay?
I have to be honest to what the question he has just asked. It's about finance. It's about finance, because once you play, our own way of living in Nigeria is not like the way things are like in Europe. I keep saying that. It's just for you now, the way you're working here now. For instance, if you earn 1,000 naira and somebody says he wants to give you 300 naira, you tell him it's not possible. But if you have a smaller club that will say, Abume, you're earning 1,000 naira, I want to give 1,500 naira, before the man will get home, you will call him back again to ask him if he's really
serious about it.
You know,
it's
life. It's life, because his money, these guys earn little compared to Nigerian league. So I think they need the greener pastures and they want to end well where they are working. That's just it.
All right. Thank you, Coach, for staying with us. And this one says, Coach Bumi, I like your guest, Coach Kennedy Boboye. He sounds so calculated and calm. Wish to see him more in the national team. He's a very intelligent coach. Ike from Nyanya. Thank you, Ike. This one says, good afternoon, A team. Coach Boboye, well done, sir. I admire you a lot and as an outstanding coach in Nigeria. So my question to you is this. Which team would you say you are scared to play against in the NPFL? Emmanuel from Nyanya.
Actually, I'm not working with any team now.
Okay.
At present. But the team I'll be scared of playing against now, as I speak, is Bend Insurance.
What is it about Bend Insurance?
Very good, calculated team. I watched them play last season. They play department by department, and they are very, very organized in terms of when they lose the ball, the way they are aggressive on you to win the ball back. They have this 6 seconds thing that they must win the ball back from you. And when they have the opportunity, they try as much as to put it at the back of the net. So I just pray for them to continue their momentum in the league till the end of the season.
When you say you pray, why do you need to pray for them when they already are a good team? Do they need prayers?
Yeah, there are things that is, you see, the when I say I pray for them, is not receiving cards,
okay,
injuries, sickness. These are things that can hit your team, and when it hits your team, the people that are not playing, before they will find themselves into that match fitness, it becomes a problem. But when you scale through these three things I've just mentioned, your team, you have a full bulk of your team.
Apart from Bender Insurance, which team has wowed you so far?
Remo Stars is another good organized team. The organization in Remo Stars is next to because they have a chairman that has a club outside the country.
Okay.
That had a professional mentality named Kule Shoname. And you can see that when the coach now won the NNL, brought the team back to the NPFL, he took that coach outside to go and work in his team in Portugal. They brought Benga. Benga played and lost some games and they didn't do well actually in the continent. And I brought that coach back again, and what that guy have gone to understudy in Europe, I think is impacting it in the team, and the team is not doing badly now for the first two or three games they've played.
A lot of people talk about players in the local league, whether they can find their foreign-based players, you know, for a shirt. You've coached the under-23, you've coached the, you know, home-based Eagles. Is there any player you think can walk straight into the Super Eagles right now from those two teams?
Yeah.
What position and why?
Because there is a player called Daniel Waterline.
Daniel Waterline.
Yeah. I think he played for Abiyawara. We invited him from Abiyawara to the national team. Defensive midfielder. The problem we are having in the defense that we've not been able to use, the likes from
Leicester City and Didi.
I think that guy should have been a comfortable, a stable player in that position for the country. Because what he has done, both in the Chan and in the under 23, shows he has the mind to play. It's just for him to be given the chance to play.
Okay. Are there other players you think can walk straight into the Super Eagles?
We have a striker. I think he's in the under 20s now. He's the captain of the under 20s. His name is Yaya Ibrahim or Ibrahim.
Yeah, Ibrahim.
Played for Gombe. Energetic. He moves very well. He shoots very well. So much confidence on the ball when he has the ball. You know, these are guys that should be in the Super Eagles playing by now, giving them time. Because if you look like the likes of Michael Owen, Sterling, those guys came into the national team at the age of 16, 17,
mm-hmm.
and they were playing. All they need is just confidence and backup from the head coaches.
Mm.
Because I remembered when Domino, the boy in the under 20 now.
Okay.
When I brought him, I watched him play.
Oh, Dominion, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a young boy playing in one park in Apo.
Okay, yeah, I know the park.
He was playing, and I said, this guy is a good player. Then I changed him from the right to the left. Went there, and he was playing like the way he was playing the right side. Then I moved him forward. He started playing better than the way he was playing. So this guy is an exceptional player.
Oh, Dominio Haka, the boy who played for the home base Eagles against was it Mexico?
He played in the home base team.
Mm.
So I now took his name and invited him.
So you saw him at the park here in Abuja?
Yeah, himself and what is it, Osa Chapney? That one too is the central defender in the under 20s now. I called my head and I told him that there are two guys I've seen. These guys can play. He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, we should invite them." The day they came into the camp, they didn't allow them to stay there because their names were not among the ones that were invited.
Yeah, wasn't on the list.
And I said, "Okay, you guys should go and stay close to the hotel. There's another hotel there. Stay there. The way we are going for training."
He joined.
They came. The first training, my other assistant colleagues were just grumbling. These boys, like, they have something. The next thing, the coach now saw them and he said, "No, you guys should come to the camp."
They must have shown something.
Yeah, and they came in, they've been able to showcase themselves. They've been able to play like people that are really hungry to play. Now, that young man has gotten the opportunity to play in the home base Super Eagles. He has played in the under 23. He's now with the under 20 in the space of 2 months.
Incredible. You know, this buttresses the fact that many people always say there are a lot of talents in Nigeria that we just need to fish them out. I mean, well, I think Dominion, I actually know Dominion a little, but he wasn't as good as he is right now. He came in for screening at the under 17 level.
Okay.
Yes, for under 17 teams. I think the 2018 set.
Okay.
Then we had Aki Amao playing off front. He was playing the same position Aki was playing.
Mm.
I remember walking up to him, calling him, because he could not bench Aki and the other boy that were playing then, you know, but he had something. I called him. I called him. Because of your pace and the power you have, why not play right back?
Okay.
He felt bad. He didn't want to play there. So I was the one who made the team So each time I made the team, I put him in right back because I felt that was where he would compete and still be able to make the team. He won't come. He would dodge me. He would, you know. So eventually he didn't make the team, but I saw that the pace he had, he could use it, you know, going forward. And so when I saw him in the national team, I was like, oh, so finally you chose him, you know. So it's something, and well, he just needs to learn some things to be able to compete. Yeah. So you see a coach now who goes straight to the grassroots, you know, to grab talent, and he's not only doing it himself; he also has people who go out, you know, to check out this talent for him.
Yeah, definitely, you know, in the national team, in all departments, you have people that are responsible for those departments. Yeah. And just like as it's been about goalkeeping departments, you have an experienced goalkeeper that will play together when we are playing in our playing days. That is now the national team coach,
goalkeeping coach
in the Super Eagles. And I think he's doing a very good job because he goes around. I've seen him in like about 3 games like this, trying to like fish out goalkeepers. And when you listen to him or see him on his WhatsApp status, on his Facebook page, you see him encouraging the home base goalkeepers that they will have an opportunity, they will have chance this time in the Super Eagles. So all he tells them is those to be doing very well in their club sides and make sure they're on top of it.
From your experience, what is the highest a player has ever earned?
I had a player in Plateau United 2017 that was ending
800,000.
I had a player in Aqua United even before I came, Ufonodo, was ending $1 million.
Okay,
so I think that is
monthly.
Yeah, monthly.
How about managers? How much do they earn in the Nigerian professional football league?
Yeah, some managers earn 2.5, I think, is the highest, because I think myself and about two other coaches, yeah.
Wow, that on 2.5 million a month. Well, do you think this is good for the Nigerian professional? Is it good enough, or still not good enough for both players and coaches?
It's not good enough, because if you check about the South African league, look at how the league is being blown high. You pay, you keep players, you give players good accommodation, give them car, you know, you make them feel at home for them to have good avenue to work, and you pay them well. We are still not there yet, but because we have government teams all over everywhere, we don't have individuals running the league for us. Like having clubs in the league is a little bit of a problem, because in South Africa you have people, the owner of Orlando Pirates, owned by someone, the one what's it called, like Kaizer Chiefs is owned by someone else, Mamelodi Sundowns is owned by someone, like, you know, they have about teams that are owned by people, but it's not like that here in Nigeria. I disagree, because we have good midfielders in the local league that can even come on and play. Most of these players that we keep calling or keep talking about, they left Nigeria to go and play outside. And if they were not given opportunities to play in Nigeria, I would have seen them outside to play, or I would have played in the national team that they were called upon. So there are players that are here that can still play in any of the categories of the national teams.
And has it ever helped you? Did it ever help you being a footballer for going into coaching?
Yeah.
Is it an advantage?
Yeah, because, you know, when we are playing, you have other players that are playing the same position with you. And if you have colleagues that are friends to you and you guys are playing the same position, you talk to yourself about that. Look, I want to go and I want to score in this. Because I used to have a teammate, a friend called Mutaru Mamudu. Then he plays for another club, I play for another club. And if I score, he wants to make sure he scores, because we are contesting for the highest goal scorer then. And when we come to the national team, we play the same, virtually the same position, but we are best of friends. We are roommates. And we leave him for training. I'll tell him about goal score 2 today. He said, no, if you score 2, I'll score 3. That is how we challenge ourselves. And before you know, we are there. But those things now don't come that easy, because most of these players, especially the local ones, don't have all these things in their mind. They have other things that have engaged them, you know, and it's a problem.
Care. Oh, and one of the ball boys in Sharks, in Shark Stadium those days. I miss your skillful play from Karebi Oyekuniso in Dawaki Estesia. Oh, that's Care. Why were you called Care?
Yeah, I was just like this then when I was swimming.
Oh, like a broom.
Yeah, so people used to call me Skeleton.
And look at you.
People were scared if I'm playing, maybe I would just
break into two.
And that was how the name came. Ooh. And then I think somebody called me that name in Luxembourg. Yeah. And we were coming and he just called me. And I turned on and I was like, look at this guy. That means this guy has known me
way a back long in time. Court. Yeah.
You know, it's, that is life.
Okay. Well, Coach, we have to say a big thank you for coming into our studio today.
It's my pleasure to.
Well, it's not been easy to get you to come here, but finally, you're here, and I'm sure Abuja enjoyed the interaction. Is there any final words you want to leave with us?
No, it's nice being here. I think it's a lovely place to come and see, to share ideas in terms of football, and to all the fans outside here, I should say a good one, and God bless you all. Meet you some other time.
Thank you. National Under 23, qualifiers for Olympics.
Yeah, that will be March. Second week of March.
We missed the last Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have the players that can deliver now?
Yeah, we're the ones who have now. Well, I think we'll be there.
Thank you very much, Coach, and wish you the best of the future. You can be sure Abuja will be following your progress, you know, and they will be wishing you the best.